Okay, everybody say this week's parasha. This parasha told us a parasha matchila ve'ela told us Yitzchok ben Avram. Avram hoilid es Yitzchok. Ma'akavana ela told us Yitzchok ben Avram. This is the told us. This is the story. This is the chronicles of Yitzchok ben Avram. Avram hoilid es Yitzchok. What is the pasuk telling us? Bacha, it's a pasuk muzar. It's a pasuk very strange. Rashi speaks about it. Rashi says that Yitzchok looked exactly like Avram. It was Yitzchok was a spitting image of Avram. And you chashev sheyesh po munach po tamun po davar ma'od ma'od chashuv ma'od b'sisi, something that's very basic, ma'od shorashi. It's very much the foundation, the fundamentals of understanding the personality, the dynamic personality of Yitzchok Avinu. Yitzchok haya echad me'avot. Yitzchok is one of our forefathers. And we expect our forefathers to be very colorful people, which means that we expect to have a lot of different stories about them. They've done a lot. Myself, Asim, and Levanon. What is it that Yitzchok has done? Ma toldot shel Yitzchok. What are his chronicles? What are Yitzchok's accomplishments? Yitzchok is one of the avos. How many avos do we have? Ein avos ella? Shalosha. We have three avos. It's arba avos nezikin. But there's three avos of Kedusha. And those are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We know a lot about Avram. Avram has accomplished a lot. It's very clear what Avram has done. We know a lot about Yaakov. Parshas Lech Lecha tells us about Avram. Parshas Va'era tells us about Avram. Even Parshas Chayisara has Avram in it. Parshas told us, he's about to speak about Yaakov. Va'yetze, Va'yishlach, Va'yeshev, Miket, Va'yigash, Va'yichi, all Yaakov. We got tons of Avram and tons of Yitzchak. Harbe, harbe. Toldot shel Avram v'Yitzchok v'Yaakov, aval Yitzchak is invisible, ne'elam. Ma toldot shel Yitzchak? What is Yitzchak's legacy? What did Yitzchak accomplish? What did Yitzchak do? Tell us something about Yitzchak. Anyone know anything about Yitzchak? What did Yitzchak do? We'll start from the very beginning. What's the first thing we know about Yitzchak doing? Right. Well, did he do that? He didn't really do it. He kind of like allowed himself to do it. But who really did it? Avram. So what else did Yitzchak do? Anyone know? Old Toldot Shel Yitzchak. Nope. It's a Yaakov. Toldot Shel Yitzchak. Dug wells. Did he dig wells? Lo mamash. He redug wells. Whose wells? Avram's wells. What else did he do? Well, he had a story with Abimelech. You know that story? What was the story? Same story as Avram. As a matter of fact, Yitzchak is a carbon copy of his father. He even looked like his father. He was a spitting image of his father. So what was Yitzchak Mechadesh? He's one of the Avos. So what was Yitzchak Mechadesh? You want to know the answer? Yitzchak was Mechadesh. The concept called tradition or Mesoira. Yitzchak chidesh et inyan shel Mesoira. He chidesh inyan shel that a person has to follow in the path that was already blazed by a trailblazer. Avram was a trailblazer. Ich remember mitzeh bevrit, ein li musag. Trailblazer. We call him a mechadesh. I can't even say that. He was a mechadesh. Avram was a mechadish. Yitzchak was a hepuch shel achidush. He was pumfaket adiraba. He was the opposite. Yitzchak was a person that followed a mesoira. Is the davar manian? We speak about Kodesh Baruch. We speak about akela godol agiba v'anoira. Ketuv godol zu Avram. Avram is midas Agadlus. Gibor zu Yitzchok. Yitzchok is a midah of Gvuras Yitzchok. Yitzchok is a Gibor. Now, what is the Gvura of Yitzchok? What's the Gvura of Yitzchok? We didn't do anything. The Gvura is the ability to confine yourselves to boundaries. Is the largest gevura that the person needs. To be able to control, have self-control, is the hardest thing possible. How do I know that? Makotov b'pirkei avot. Ezu gibor Ezel Gibor, the person that beats up everyone else, the one who could like kill lots of people, can slay a dragon, can win arm wrestles. Is that a Gibor? No, what's the Gibor? Hakovesh es Yitzro, which means controls himself. Self-control is the hardest thing possible. That was Yitzchak. Yitzchak had self-control, which means every one of us has like a feeling like we need to express our individuality. You want to like do things because we want to do them, is because we decided we want to do them, because we think it's the right thing. It's all about me and my and this and that, and thinking about me. Yitzchak says, you know why I'm doing it? Because he told me to do it. That's why. Yitzchak is mechadesh, the concept of Messiah. I'm doing it because that's what my father did. That's true strength. The ability to control yourself is true strength. Some people can't control themselves. And people sometimes look at it as they think that that itself is strength. That's not strength, that's weakness. That is strength, that's strength of Esav. Esav is a person who had absolutely no control over himself. You got him angry and he took out a sword and he chopped your head off. Well, that's a person who has absolutely no control. He's strength, but not control. That person wants to show self-control. He's a person who is able to follow tradition. The Pasuk tells us, you want to know the chronicles of Yitzchak? Elo told us Yitzchak. Avram hoiled us Yitzchak. Yitzchak looked exactly like his father. He did exactly what his father did. That is true strength. That is a mesira that Klal Yisrael got. Yitzchak gave us the idea of mesira. So the Pasuk continues and the Pasuk says, Yitzchak took the kachto es Rivka bas Pesuel Arami mipadan Aram lo leisha. He married Rivka. Well, as a matter of fact, he didn't even choose his wife. Who's the one that orchestrated Yitzchak's marriage? Who's the one that orchestrated it? His father. His father sent Eliezer on a mission, right? Eliezer the whole time said, "I'm doing it because Avram told me to do it. I'm giving clear instructions of what to do." He was a shliach of Avram, not a shliach of Yitzchak. Yitzchak just listened to his father. That's what he did. And v'yeter Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto ki yakar hi. V'yeter lo Hashem, Hashem answered him, v'ata Rivka ishto, his wife became pregnant. V'yisroi tzitzu habanim b'kirba. V'taymerim ke'in l'mazeh anoich v'telech l'drashas Hashem. The children were, they were struggling inside of her stomach. Why were the children struggling? Tishma, Rabbi Yisai. It's a vort mod chashuv. Why were they struggling? It says when Esav passed the Esav Avodah Zarah, he's like, wow, that's awesome. And he wanted to go to Adu Avodah Zarah. So he was like, he was kicking to get out. Esav wanted to get out. And when Yaakov passed the Beis Medrash, Yaakov said, wow, that is awesome. He wanted to get out. He was kicking to get out. Yaakov was trying to get out. So there's a very famous question. The question is, I understand Esav wanted to get out because there's absolutely no Avodah Zarah there being done in the womb. Zero Avodah Zarah happening over there. So he saw something that he liked out there. He wanted to get out. But Yaakov Avinu, who is he in the presence of aside for his brother? Who else is in the womb together with the child? Every one of us. The mouth doing what?
Learning Torah.
He's got it over there. The best Rebbe in the universe is sitting there feeding him in on a spoon, silver spoon. He's got it, everything he wants. What does he want to go over there to the Beis Medrash of Shem Ever for? Like, what is he got going over there? You hear the question? As Yesh Shnei Terutzim L'Shela Azoti, Shnehem Emet. תירוץ אחד הוא, אפילו אם יש לך רבי כמו מלאך, אם החבוסו שלך על איסוף, אז אתה צריך לברוח. Even if you have the best Rebbe in the world, but if your friends are bringing you down, you have to break away. Get away. Don't make a difference who your Rebbe is. You have a chavrusa like איסוף, get out of there. That's why he wanted out. זה תירוץ אחד על פי דרך המושה. יש עוד תירוץ. בדרך הפשעת כשה
Kish Yaakov haya, when he was in his mother's womb, the beten imo, the malach melamed otot melamed es haTorah. Mevuar, it's katuv. Lo haya shikha. Lo haya koshi. The malach told him everything to him. He remembered it the first time. He got it. Everything was smooth. It was literally on in a silver spoon, on a silver platter. Lo haya shum omel batoyah. Lo haya shum esek batoyah. There was no challenge, bichlal. It was like simple. It was like a computer. Put all the information into the computer. It's all there. Yaakov wanted something else. Yaakov wanted to be omel batoyah. He doesn't do that in the womb. Ein amelus bebeten. Ein amelus when you're learning from a malach. Yaakov wanted to get out. Because he saw over there in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Iver, Omer HaTorah, Ashrei Mi She'amoloi BaTorah. What does that mean? He's working. He's toiling in Torah. He's challenged in Torah. He's applying himself. It's not just like easy come, easy go. It's hard. That is the greatest accomplishment in this world. And that's what Yaakov wanted. Yesh Sipur Nifla. Sipur Nifla, and if anyone wants to see the letter, I can get you the letter. It was a story of a person that somehow came out of the womb knowing Kol HaTorah Kula. The Malach didn't tap him. It's a true story. You want to see the letter? Kanaresh Shalom. Until he does now, because the Belzer Rebbe tapped him. Story, true story. People, he lives in Yerushalayim. Could get the letter. There's a letter written about the story that he knew Kol HaTorah Kula. He knew it all. They asked him different questions about, well, I shouldn't say he knew it all. There were certain things that, whatever. Kitzer, he knew it, basically knew it all. And he asked to be tapped. He got tapped. The Belzer Rebbe tapped him. And he forgot it. No. Priya Dika. The one before this one. He asked to be tapped. Yeah. He wanted to be tapped because what's the point? What's the point to just be an encyclopedia of information? Be a computer. Because Baruch doesn't want computers. If you want computers, you just have computers. You could have programs where all the knowledge is all there. The whole point is that Baruch wants us to be miyageya, to work towards it, to struggle in time. Kayadua. It's a known story that a malach came to the Vilna Gaon and said, I want to give you the answers to all the questions that you have that you don't know the answer to. And the Vilna Gaon told him, no, thank you. I want to do it myself. I want to struggle in Torah. I want to work. We sometimes get frustrated because it's like so hard for us. We wish it would just go easy. The Goyim wants it to go hard. What's the point of going easy? The whole point is to be omel batoyah, is to toil in Torah, to totally connect yourself, fuse your entire body, your entire being, your neshama. Put your neshama in it. That's what a person works for. Therefore, Yaakov wanted out of the beten imo, because in the stomach it's easy. It's like smooth. That's nothing. It's not an accomplishment. It's only a feat when a person works for it. Therefore, he wanted Dafka to go to the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Iver. It's something to remember, Rabbi saying, Akoponim, the puzzle continues. Vayetzi HaRishon, she had two children. Vayetzi HaRishon Admoini, he was red. Kuloi Ka'aderes Seyar. Ka'aderes Seyar, he's like a cloak of hair. Vayikushma Esav, and his name was Esav. Esav was a hairy beast. V'achrechen yotza achiv, v'yoda achezes ba'akev Esav. Vayikushma Yaakov, v'yiklu anor v'yu Esav isha de'atzayit ish sod v'yakov ishtam yosh yobohalem. Yaakov sat in the tent. Esav went out to the field. Esav was hairy. Pasuk later on tells us Yaakov was not hairy. What's the idea of being hairy, not being hairy? What's the idea? Esav is an ish sod, Yaakov is an ish tam. Says Rabbi Rucham, "Omer vort nifla." Says, you know, the nature of something that has a lot of hair is that it picks up a lot of dirt, a lot of dust, a lot of crumbs. Kind of like just if you like walk by something that's like has any type of some particles to it, and it's just like it's picked up on the skin, on the hair, not on the skin. Technically, if it would be just skin, it would just you wouldn't pick it up. But someone that has a lot of hair, so they can get a lot of dirt, you know, stuck to their hair. That's the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov sat and learned in the Beis Medrash. He kept himself in certain confines. And he wasn't influenced by what was happening by secular culture, because he kept himself in confines. Esav, on the other hand, was an ish sadeh. Esav was always going out to the town to see what's going on. He was out in the field. He was coming and going and doing. Esav was out there. He was an out there type of person. And even though Esav was in the house of Yitzchak, Esav grew up in the house of Yitzchak, somehow he became a murderer. He became an adulterer. He became an avodah zaranik, a pagan. How did that happen? In a house like Yitzchak, because he's going out every night, he's going out and he's picking up filth and garbage. He's not even looking for it. But when you have hair, so then it just gets picked up. What was Esav's hair is the fact that he was going out to the fields. And he picked it up. It happened by osmosis. You just walk by and get it. A person who's hanging out with people that smoke, he starts to smell. Not only that, but it's actually, I believe, medically worse secondhand smoke than firsthand smoke. Any smokers here? Abi, is that correct? I believe secondhand smoke is more detrimental to a person than firsthand smoke. Person hangs out with a smoker, so he is subject to the very same side effects, even if he's not smoking. It'll make a difference because you're breathing in his air. Esav was going to the field, and look what happened to him. Look what happened to him. Yaakov, on the other hand, Yaakov confined himself. He was Yoshev Oihalim. He said, you know something? I got everything I need right over here. What do I got to go there for? What do I need that for? And he kept his sensitivities and he kept his spiritual level. He was able to become Yaakov Avinu. Pasuk continues. Pasuk says, Vayozed Yaakov Nezid, Vayovo Esav Menasode Uoyev. Yaakov made lentils. Esav came from the field and he was tired. Give me, can you, halitaini means literally to just like pour it down my throat. What's it called? We got bong me some lentils. That's what it means. I want you to bong me some lentils. So he said, Akin Kushma Edoim, give me some of the red stuff. I'll give it to you, but at a price. At a price, I want the bechayra. Now Esav was so tired, he didn't even feel like he could feed himself. He said, Yaakov, I want you to just pour it in. I just go, I can't even like use my hands. I'm so tired. So Yaakov says, okay, sure. Bechayra. Bechayra, you want some? Bechayra. Sell it to me. So Esav sells it. he succumbs because he was starving. I mean, it's tiring to kill people and avoid his own, all that stuff. He came from the field, Rashi says, he was doing like, he had a busy day. He's had a very busy day. You know, he came back, he was wiped. He's like so tired, you see that. Yaakov just put it in my mouth, and I'm like so hungry. Yaakov says, no problem. B'chayra. So, okay. Deal. Esav says. Pasuk says, Yirmi Yaakov, Yishava li kayom. Swear to me, Yaakov's not letting me off easy over here. And he's like, I'm so hungry, just give me the lentils already. I swear, fine. But Yirmi Yaakov, Yaakov nosan le'esav. Lechem. Zira doshim. He drank, he got up and he left. And Esav, what did he do?
Belittled
the Bechari, thank you. He made a busha, a bizoyan. A what? Embarrassed the Bechari.
Disgraced.
This is supposed to be Hebrew class, not English. Who bizarre. Who? That's also there. Who biesh? He who zilzel? Nachon? Et habchora. The question cheapened. Zilzel. The question is Rabotai. Eich who zilzel et habchora? Eich who biesh et habchora? He's starving over here. He's like, he can't even move. He's so hungry. And Yaakov is like, Yaakov basically is taking advantage of the situation to get the Bechorim from. What did Esav do wrong over here, Esav says, I'm like dying of hunger. What did he do wrong? Hakama shenim ayali pshat, Baruch Hashem, I saw it this morning. Also someone else says it. Sefer Mayana Shel Torah. That he sold the Bechayra. Okay, he was starving. He was that hungry. That's not the problem. But the problem is, what did he do after he sold the Bechayra? He's starving. He's going to die. He sold the Bechayra. Okay? You just sold the Bechayra. You realize what you just sold the Bechayra. What does the Pasuk say? He got up. He left. No big deal. No big deal. What do you mean by Yochum Ayilach? No remorse? No regret? He's not sad? He's not upset about it? It's just like, okay, Bechayra, easy come, easy go. You know what I mean? It's not the fact that he sold it. It's the fact that what his reaction was to selling it. That's the busha, the zilzel. That's the cheapening of it. We all are in situations where we have to compromise. Compromising situations. Person misses tefillah b'tzibur. It can happen. It can happen. But what's his reaction to that? What's his response? What's his attitude? It's like, no big deal. So what? That's zilzul in tefillah. The fact that it happened, these things happen. There's people on a very high madriga. My wife had a great-grandfather. This is an insane story. This is insane. He was blind. I believe cataracts. And the doctors told him they could cure his vision. But back in the day, this is my wife's great-grandfather, he would have to spend 3 days with his head bandaged and he won't be able to put on tefillin. So he said, I'm not doing it. I'd rather stay blind than go 3 days without putting on tefillin. That's like, it's unbelievable. Halachically, it's okay. But he's blind. Suma chashiv kenes. It doesn't make a difference to him. He's not mevater on putting on tefillin. So that's already like an extreme where he's not mevater even on once. I have a friend who's extremely machben on tefillah b'tzibur. So machben on tefillah b'tzibur that when he travels, he pays people to come to the airport to daven with him with a minyan. It's a friend of mine. He's been here in yeshiva. I didn't learn yeshiva, but he came to visit me. He learned with me once for yeshiva. He pays people to meet him in the airport to daven tefillah b'tzibur. That's how machbid he is. Okay, that's beyond us. Sometimes you miss. But what's your response to that? What's your reaction to it? Okay, so I miss. So what? tefillah b'tzibur. Kriyashma b'zman. That's the zilzul. The zilzul is not that it happened. My alarm didn't go off. I didn't hear it. I pressed snooze. I didn't realize. No one woke me. Whatever it is, it's not a good thing. It should never happen. But that's not the zilzul. The zilzul is what's the attitude afterwards? What does a person do when he does get up? Is it just like, just another day, like no big deal? Does he get upset at himself? Does he expect more of himself? Because he realizes this is something important I just let slip through my hands. This is important, this is meaningful. That's Vayivez Esav as a Bachayra. Because he didn't really care. You want me to sell it to you? I don't care. He just got up and it's just like another day. Okay, everybody, so let's end with one last thought. Pasuk tells us here that Esav, when he came in, he saw the lentil soup or whatever it was. He said, "Haliteini na min ha'adaim ha'adaim azeh," which means, "I want you to bong me with the red stuff." Okay, it's a very not normal way of speaking. Haliteini is not normal, and red stuff is not normal. What is it? It's lentil soup. What should he say? Give me some of the adoshim. Suppose it says, Vayozed Yaakov Nezid, adoshim. So why Esav calls it the red stuff? Alkin Kroshmo Edom, that's what we call him, the red guy. Because he's like into red. The story happened as follows. One time a young child came to visit Reb Shach. Reb Shach took out candies, and he asked the kid, "Do you want the red candy, or do you want the green candy?" So, the boy's father was Talmud Chacham. He asked Reb Shach. He said, "It seems that Esav's criticized for saying he wants the red stuff. So why are you asking my son if he wants the red one? Isn't that like Esav?" Father asked Reb Shach, to which Reb Shach answered, "Esav was criticized because Esav was acting like a child. Children only see red or green. Adults are supposed to understand there's something deeper than that. It's not red. Red is just a color. Red is just a surface. There's something beneath the surface. There's something that it defines an essence. It's not red. It's adoshim, it's lentils. Red is just the color." Esav was pure chitzonius. All he saw was, it's shiny, it's red, it's flashing. That's all he saw. He had no pnimius to him. He remained a child. As children, we tend to be attracted to the wrapping. It's all about packaging as children. You know, they have the taffies, and the one is wrapped in pink and blue and green and yellow. It's the same taffy, but for children it's still exciting. I get the blue one, I get the pink one. They have what are those things called, the ices that people igloos. So we get igloos that are the same color, but it's just different color wrapping. That's it. But it doesn't make a difference to the kids. I want the red one, I want the green one. Because kids just get excited from the wrapping. That's what it's all about. That's children. But as adults, we have to look for something that has more meaning and more depth and more purpose and more substance. We have to be people that are people of substance. So many people, you look at them and you, on the surface, their life looks beautiful, like looks wonderful because, you know, they're good looking. That's pure chitzonius. They have money, That's not happiness. If we're a person looking for someone who has depth, find me someone with depth, with meaning, with passion. That's a person with purpose. That's what Yaakov was. And Esav was the opposite. And that's something that we have to try to see past. All of the advertising of Madison Avenue, which is all just, you know, a question of packaging, how to present something. And it's trying to lure us and draw us in and tell us, come to the street. The street's where it's at. The street is the party. The street is good. The street is fun. It's trying to lure us into the street. And then you have just the genuine, same old base medrash. Nothing's really changed. Nothing all that exciting. But it's real. That's the challenge. Are we going to follow in the footsteps of Esav? If we do, there is no question that it is going to affect us. Or are we going to find a way to just, you know, kind of like put ourselves in confines of the base medrash? This is my home. I have everything I need here. I'm going to develop my pneumius. I'm going to develop my individuality, what's real about me, and connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.